See, the good thing about today is I took so much cold medicine before I came in here that even if the movie is as bad as I remember it being, then I'm not going to remember it at all, right? Thanks to Cold Medicine and thanks to Forgotten Boardwalk Brewing Company Funnel Cake Ale. So, there we go.
It's good. I'm sorry you're on cold meds. I'm recovering. I took some cold meds yesterday, but this is me. What's the best medicine? Well, it's not cold meds. It's bad football movies.
Good news for the only non-sick person in the room.
Why am I here if you guys both are sick?
No, I'm recovered. I feel great.
Oh my God.
I'm Connor Orr. This is episode 4 of Bad Football Movies. It's incredible. I can't believe we've made it this far. We've been kicked back out of the studio. We were invited into the studio for episode 3. We drank too much in the studio. We were kicked out. Now we're in a conference room, sort of like two rooms down from the studio.
Studio adjacent.
Yeah. But a very special panel of guests today. Jessica Smetana from the MVP podcast, producer extraordinaire, all that kind of stuff. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to watch this movie. I've never seen it before.
How old were all of us? We're watching The Replacements today, by the way, starring Gene Hackman, Keanu Reeves. This came out in 2000, August of 2000. I was 12. So the PG-13 guidelines in my house were very strictly adhered to, so I did not see this movie for like 2 or 3 years after it came out. How old were you guys in 2000?
Six.
I was 13, so I could have seen it. I had loose guidelines on PG-13 movies. I was allowed to watch whatever I wanted, really. But somehow this movie escaped me too, and it's been 19 years and I've never seen it. So I'm excited to see it for the first time today.
So you guys know nothing about The Replacements going in.
I know a little bit about it. I know that as recently as 4 days ago, Lee Finer, another SI employee, told me that I would love this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
And I know that Keanu Reeves is in it, and I feel like it's possible I've seen a scene or two on TV at some point, just in passing.
Yeah.
And I know I haven't sat down and watched the whole movie, but I feel like there will be a scene where I'm like, oh, this movie, and it'll be something that's mildly familiar. But so, at the time I saw it, I had no context of, you know, what's going on in the plot at that point or anything.
So to guide you guys through this, I will say that it is one of the worst football movies I've ever seen. It is also one of the worst romantic comedies I've ever seen.
No.
But one of the best soundtracks of any movie that I've ever seen. I think you balance it all out, you know?
Cool.
Mitch, what are you digging into?
Well, I just opened up. What is this? You picked it up.
Okay.
That's
the Forgotten Boardwalk.
This is the Forgotten Boardwalk from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It's a funnel cake boardwalk ale.
Yeah, so we can't forget to thank our unofficial sponsors today. Zigmeister from Hackettstown, Neshaminy Creek from Philly, and BrewDog from Scotland.
Is it supposed to taste like a funnel cake? Is that the idea?
Save it for Untappd, man. All right. Save it for Untappd. Okay, so we're going to get to this, and we'll check in a few minutes into the movie. So guys, we're 20 minutes in. Our hero has arrived. Bouncy, wavy, shoulder-length hair, Keanu Reeves, Shane Falco. He's going to play football.
Never in doubt. Great. Knew he was going to show up.
It would have been a short movie if he didn't come.
Yeah.
The opening scene was him finding a football engraved with his name at the bottom of the ocean and throwing it and cheering. So I think the audience is accepting the fact that, you know, he's going to show up and play.
So for those of you who haven't seen The Replacements, there's a strike. There's an NFL strike because they want $5 million more in salary cap money, which doesn't seem like a whole lot of money. But everyone is willing to stage a season-long hiatus for this, and they're hiring obscure scab players from the nether reaches of the world, including sumo wrestling and English soccer, to round out this roster. It's a team of misfit toys, right? This is a classic kind of movie trope, and everything's kind of falling into place.
Mm-hmm. Major League, it's like the same kind of, the movie opens with the montage of just, you know, plucking players. I'm thinking Major League because they literally got a guy out of prison, just like Ricky Vaughn, and they show them taking him out of handcuffs at the stadium. Great cameos. This is just such a time capsule of people from other roles. There's the guy from the Miller High Life commercials. There's the guy from the Make 7 Up Yours commercials.
Yes.
Roy from The Office is the,
young Roy. Very young and skinny Roy.
You said it's Roy from The Office, and that's when I was like, holy shit, that's Roy from... Am I allowed to swear on this?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Can now.
Roy from The Office looks 20 years younger, and he's playing tight end, and he's deaf.
What could go wrong?
This is the Roy that Pam fell in love with before he let himself go a little bit in the warehouse. This is his
origin story. We had no idea.
Yeah. This
before
is
before he bought the jet ski.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the scenes that we just saw, that Shane Falco arrives at, they're filming it at the old Ravens Stadium. So he arrives at the parking lot, and this whole time, the current NFL players who are on strike are there attacking the scab players as they, like physically attacking the scab players as they enter the stadium. Five NFL players, theoretically offensive, defensive lineman types, then take Shane Falco's truck and flip it over. Do you think that five NFL players could flip over a pickup truck?
I say yes, because that was a tin can
that
pickup
is a small,
truck. It's
a small
not like a Ford
truck.
F-150. Yeah. Like, this is like a very less substantial model.
Could they flip over a Ford F-150?
I still think maybe. This car, I feel like three NFL players could flip this car.
I lean toward no. I Googled how much does a truck weigh, and the first thing that came up was the 2016 GMC Sierra. I know nothing about cars, trucks. They said that this truck is 7,100 pounds. That's too much for five people.
So that's like, what, three and a half tons?
But I agree with you that this was a much smaller, this was a more bare bones.
Dinky
is a good word for it, truck. But I don't know. I lean toward no. Feels like one of many unrealistic things that we've seen so far.
Could J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, and, I don't know, Gerald McCoy flip that car?
It feels like a lot to ask. I don't know.
I think they could. Maybe. Think they could.
I'm going to play both sides of the fence on this. I don't know. I do agree, though. It's a crappy truck, right?
Yeah.
It's a bad truck. So Shane Falco is...
He has a shitty truck.
He has a shitty truck. Yeah,
he lost the Sugar Bowl by 45 points.
Yes.
And he's since, now he basically lives in a boat in the Inner Harbor. I was surprised that he even had a mode of transportation besides the boat, because they made it seem like he just kind of lives there. That was the impression that I got. That's
probably not. Probably very expensive now to live in a boat in the Inner Harbor in Baltimore, by the way, now.
It was a
probably.
Nice boat.
Yeah.
The boat was nicer than the car, for sure.
Yeah. So he apparently was horribly misperformed in this bowl game, the Sugar Bowl for Ohio State, lost, and then was drafted to the NFL, thrown into action too early, and then bottomed out. Now he scrapes plankton off of the bottom of people's boats. So your classic hard worker, grinder, a lot of chances for him to kind of pop his shirt on and off during the movie, you know, so just a classic Keanu Reeves.
Definitely. I'm already noticing some plot holes. This is a strange. So I just want to say that. So they're practicing in their main stadium that they play in, and somehow they had all of the players, all of the replacement players arrive on a bus together. And so you would think the stadium would be the natural meeting place for these people, but instead they met somewhere else
off-site,
so that they could all ride to the stadium together on a bus. So that they could be egged by fans and reporters and current players in some combination.
Like a weird gaggle of current NFL players, journalists.
Except for Shane Falco, who drove there himself when everyone else took a bus.
That's a good point.
Very, very strange.
Maybe they were meeting at like a front office area, you know, like a Hallis Hall situation.
Yes.
And they take the bus down to Soldier Field.
Which leads me to my next complaint. Very small coaching staff / front office. We've only met three of them. We met the owner and then the head coach, Gene Hackman, and then two other coaches.
They're essentially the Bengals.
Meanwhile, they have no GM or scouting team.
Still
like
the
all
Bengals.
Of these players, all of these players were scouted by Gene Hackman himself. Here are some players I've been keeping an eye on, is what he said. And he's got all these random guys who are now in different walks of life. Very weird that he did all of this himself, that he had the list already, that he doesn't have more position coaches. Some holes, I think.
Also that they couldn't hire more extras to make the protest scene a little bit more robust. it was a pretty weak protest.
There was like
pretty
eight
weak
people
protest.
Like just screaming at them.
There are more
good.
People lined up on any random day in New York at City Hall than there were at this potentially like big deal
like if
replacement.
If we went to M&T Bank Stadium now, would
there would
be
more people
more
outside
people than in, this
in line for the
protest.
Aquarium than there would be for for this. So one of you guys mentioned this too, is they got another player from jail, and then he just arrives at the stadium and then just is uncuffed. Like, he was dangerous enough to be cuffed all the way to the stadium, and then with no supervision is uncuffed.
But also didn't get his clothes back. He's still in his jail, like, orange onesie. And they take his cuffs off at the stadium, and he's still in his his jail onesie. Did they not discharge him from jail and give him back his clothes?
Maybe it's like a work release thing. They're just like,
that's, you know, what it kind of seems like.
Can I just say I love the phrase jail onesie? That's what it's called now.
I do call it, jail onesie's fine. I like jail onesie. So, yeah, so I think we can get back to things here. I think we all kind of feel where this is going a little bit. Like I said, definitely of the tropier football movies that I've seen so far. It's definitely following a formula, but what are some predictions for the next little bit here? What do you guys think is going to happen?
So there's going to be some, something's going to go wrong with one of the players on the team that they brought in. Well, they're going to screw something up.
Yeah, so the owner said that they need to win 3 out of 4 to make the playoffs. He also said win 3 out of 4 with replacement players, but theoretically, won't their opponents have replacement players too? I can't imagine that they are the only team striking, so it doesn't seem like it should be any harder for them. But I would guess that's the key. They have to win 3 out of 4. They will probably lose either the first or the second game and then have to win out to get to the playoffs. I'd assume they do. I don't know if this is going to show the playoffs or if them, you know, getting to the regular season will be enough. They also... Gene Hackman made a vague promise to Keanu Reeves. He said, you know, this could lead to some opportunities. I can't promise what happens after the strike. It's possible that we will see the strike end and Keanu Reeves, you know, someone will have to make a decision if some of these guys get to stay on the team after the strike. I could see that becoming the plot line more so than the season, but it feels like a lot of wheels are in motion.
This is supposed to be the 87 Redskins, right? Basically.
It is an homage to the 87 Redskins, yes.
They won... out the season, won the Super Bowl, and then the next year there's a quarterback controversy. Could the same thing happen in the movie?
Mitch, by the way, for those of you who have listened to the podcast, was livid on Any Given Sunday when they did not show the next round of the playoffs.
That was
furious. Will he be upset again?
I'll probably be upset. Will that be the reason I'm upset is the better question.
We'll find out. So the Sentinels are 0-1 now in the Shane Falco era. Gene Hackman says to him on the field, winners always want the ball, when he checked out of the play. Kind of mean to say to a guy that you just dragged out of his houseboat 2 days ago and forced him to play professional football. He's doing you a favor. And here he is just insulting him and making his post-traumatic stress from his collegiate career even worse than it probably is now.
That's a fair point. Shane Falco's doing this man a favor, and he just got... completely dumped on.
Completely
in front of national media.
Yeah.
Tough love from a coach in a suit and ridiculous hat, and he's coaching from the sideline with no headset, barking orders to the offensive and defensive coordinators who do have headsets. You know, kind of what I expected from the Gene Hackman character. He's that kind of, you know, gruff guy.
Put the blame on everyone else but myself kind of guy.
Classic head football coach. So some things that we wanted to get to that we missed on the first run.
After we're about an hour and a half farther into the movie is how long it feels like they spent. That was the first game, and that was 20 minutes?
That was about 20 minutes of actual game.
A lot of time on that game.
You could have watched an actual football game.
The first quarter
game.
Of a football game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the discussion around the treatment of women in this movie does not age well in the 19 years since this has been out. Like, tropey from the very beginning, like, the only female characters that we've seen so far are strippers, bad cheerleaders who can't spell, and
then Shane Falco's love interest, who she has a scene where she is very knowledgeable about football while she is driving like a lunatic throughout the streets. So they had to bust one woman's stereotype.
Yeah.
And combat it with another woman's stereotype, because she loves football, but she can't drive. So
in the writer's room, they're like, yeah, no, let's make her know a lot about football, but she can't drive.
That's
obviously.
Also, I feel like that's another classic sports movie trope, where they have the one female character, but it's like, oh, but she knows about sports, so she's fine. Like, you know, but,
she's a cool girl.
Yeah. So you said, Connor, like, that it hasn't aged well in 19 years, and I think Jess... we all made the point, like, I don't know how this was funny at the time.
It wasn't funny
in
2000.
Some of these jokes not even haven't aged well, but are just like, yeah, like, this room was just silence and cringes. Yeah, it's not very funny. The best characters in the movie, and maybe the only laughs for me, are Madden and Summerall, who...
are fantastic.
They're great. And that's the best, you know, the nostalgia from just so many hours watching football games that they called, and even just video games. games from that era that I grew up playing where they were the announcers. They're on point. They're the best actors in the movie so far. And they've had a couple jokes that were a little, you know, hit or miss, but most of their lines have been fun and entertaining. And it's great to now have new Madden and Summerall material that I've never discovered and be able to see them together in their heyday. This is awesome. That's what I'm enjoying most out of the movie so far.
The romantic subplot we saw a little bit of. Shane was waving to the head cheerleader while he was being demolished at practice. She gives him a ride home because his truck is still flipped over, but then makes it a point to let him know once they reach his houseboat that she doesn't date football players, especially quarterbacks. So
foreshadowing, I think. Methinks it's a foreshadow.
I think they're gonna date.
not much really going on in that front. But yeah, I mean, this. So some weird cameos that we did not mention before. Jon Favreau is in this movie.
Not a cameo. He's the heart of the defense.
He is he's the Brian Urlacher of this team.
I was gonna say he's the Brian Cushing of this team.
That's true, because clearly steroids.
It's anger management, Jon Favreau. He is he's a psycho. He's bleeding like John Ritchie during the game under his helmet.
He literally tackled six cheerleaders, scab cheerleaders, I should mention, on accident as he was coming out of the tunnel for the first time.
Because, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, not only are the players on strike, apparently, but the cheerleaders are on strike, too. We needed whole new cheerleader tryouts.
Yes. There are no other women dancers on the planet other than, six women who are, strippers and not dancers who are trying out. There are, no other people to fill these roles.
So the love interest... What was her role before? Because she is clear. So she's in charge, and they're trying out for her to decide who makes the team. But so she must be a scab too. Did they explain where she came from and why she has the authority position and is good at this and is in charge? That's just all left.
No.
It was on the cutting room floor, her backstory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to it.
I also want to say, you mentioned briefly the scene about her showing off that she does know football. She is basically that scene while she's driving. She's giving Keanu Reeves a lesson on the game plan for Detroit, their first game. Detroit, they announced, they explained, bought a semi-pro team. So whereas this Washington team is all random people from all over the place, Detroit is just a semi-pro team. She's giving him the scouting report on all these guys about Prescott, who's a linebacker, and he's back. And one of the other linebackers is upset because he got dumped and he's been drinking and he's a second slower. So it's does she have the scouting report on whatever the semi-pro team was that got purchased by Detroit? Or because at first I thought these were the normal players in this team. It's just very strange and a big hole in the movie. Again, a lot of holes in this movie. But that one where she would randomly know all
that bothers you more than anything else.
Well, there's a lot that bothers me, but it's on the list.
We forgot to mention from earlier in the movie when Gene Hackman tells Keanu Reeves that women don't play football basically because they're not tough enough to get continuous concussions.
That was so bad.
Literally used the line that's why women don't play football. It was just cringe.
After admitting that he got three concussions in one football game, which I'm unsure if that's humanly, I guess it's possible, right?
How is his brain stem still attached to his spine?
That's why he's not in the NFL anymore. Yeah. It's not because no wonder he had a bad rookie season. He was concussed three times in one game. But yeah, that's why women don't play football, because you got three concussions in one game.
Mm. Terrible. That was weird.
That was a bad line. Yeah. Come on, guys. Screenwriters, let's do better in the next.
Jokes about the Asian football player are also not good.
Yeah.
A lot of this movie has not aged well, / maybe did not land at the time it was released, I think we can say.
And for those of you who could probably guess, the Asian football player also happens to be a sumo wrestler. So just to complete that full stereotype tropey circle, these screenwriters seem to just be plugging and playing here.
His gut is getting a lot of screen time, though. I will say, if you're going to... And I'm fine if they have a sumo wrestler character, and Gene Hackman made the comment about it's all balance and moving people, and that's totally fine. And they keep showing his big gut in his, Zeke crop top showing off.
We've seen his stomach more than the female lead of this movie.
And that is great. The dialogue around the jokes has been... In lighter news, I'll say I've moved on to my second beer. I'm now drinking a Neshaminy Creek John. Shout out to all my Philly people, big fans of the word John. The can says Juicy Ale with Nugget, an American pale ale. It's okay. I really liked the Funnel Cake beer from the Forgotten Boardwalk Brewing Company. That was good. This one, I don't know if I like it as much.
Nugget thing is weed. Are you cool with that? There's pot in there. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think
All right, let's get back to this movie.
I'm fine with whatever I'm allowed to do in this conference room at work, I guess.
Let's get back to this movie while Mitch gets totally stoned.
Great scene. This is good.
Mitch, I want to record for 2 seconds because you're feeling it right now. You love this.
They're in jail or some kind of a holding cell. They're all together. This is team building at its finest.
You're glowing. They're singing. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first scene of the movie that I'm enjoying. This is good.
I have to agree. I think I've changed my mind now.
I've not changed my mind on the whole movie. This is a great scene. This is good.
I should have recorded everyone's reaction to the total bloodbath of a bar fight that we witnessed, where like most people would have died in that, like if they got their head smashed through that much glass. But
yeah, a lot of clean shots to the skull, both punching and kicking. That was
But so all the sentinels went to jail.
They're all in the same holding cell.
It's not the whole team. It's all the important players. Yes. The people we met in the montage. Yeah,
including the player who was already in jail and somehow was allowed to go out and get into a bar fight and now is returned to jail.
Yeah.
That was another decent line. Somebody said, oh, it's like a homecoming for you. See, I finished my second beer and now things are getting funnier.
Things are looking up. Things are looking up.
Things are also looking up for the Sentinels. So they went to jail. They got into a bar fight. They fought all the regular players who just... They roam around in this pack of horribly dressed men and then just fight them all the time. They're like it's like the Sharks and the Jets. This is very.
What are Connor and Jess? What are your go-to songs to put on the jukebox in jail? At the bar? No, not in
your
jail.
Your go-to songs
no,
to sing
at the bar.
In jail.
You put a dollar in the jukebox at the bar. What's your go-to
I
song?
I have never used a jukebox. Do jukeboxes even exist?
Touch tunes?
Yeah. Now it's like the electronic. It's no longer the old school jukebox, but it's like
it would
the,
not be.
You know, you
yeah.
Put a,
touch what? Tunes.
Yeah, touch tunes, whatever this. That is. What's your...
The last time I used touch tunes, I was mad at one of my friends, and we were at a bar that he liked, and so I just played all the really weird, sad songs from Pet Sounds by Beach Boys, but I played them over. I like, spent $45 on touch tunes, so they would play over and over and over.
I've done
and
that
over.
Too, yeah. Put the same song on like 3 times in a row just to piss people off.
And see if they'll turn off the... They will just eventually unplug the jukebox, which is what I learned, and then just plug it back in.
$45 is a lot. That's more than I've invested
you're
in
very
that prank.
Super
you're
mad.
A petty
I'm
man.
Super mad.
Or I don't know how much the MQB is paying you that you're dropping $45.
Not enough to be spending $45 on touch tunes. So, yeah. So the team is together.
I think a winning streak is on the way.
I think we all see where this is going. They need to win 3 games. And so, here we go.
Try to fight back. But the harder you fight, the deeper you sink. Until you can't move. Can't breathe. Because you're in over your head. Like quicksand.
I love how Gene Hackman like nods in approval, like like quicksand. Yeah,
it was like they discussed it ahead of time because they're talking about spiders and bees. First off, that was another good line. He was like, does anything scare you besides insects? Like anything on the field? And the sprite guy is like, you mean like spiders on the field? Which is good. And then Shane Falco says quicksand, and everyone thinks he's talking about quicksand, and Gene Hackman knows. He's like, no.
I don't think he meant actual quicksand.
And he didn't.
I hate that Shane Falco is like the fake deep quarterback who's just actually... an idiot. He's so like cryptic and stupid that it sounds like he has a lot that he thinks about. Like he's a silent, brooding, deep guy, but he's just a fucking idiot. He's had 3 concussions in 1 game and can't like say a sentence anymore.
Should we discuss the boat scene?
Yeah. Because I wanted to me, like, you know, because I don't know, I saw this movie 10 years ago and then like catching on TV every now and then. And those are the 2 scenes that I always think about in this movie. The horrible interaction between the love interest and Shane Falco at his houseboat. She's like, I'm not interested in you. I don't want to talk to you. But then she shows up unannounced to ask him if he wants a ride to practice, and then like rubs wild yams on his injured shoulders.
Hey, I got this cream I'll rub all over you, like, because it's a movie.
This is the 2019 equivalent of like, hey, I have a herbal oil company. Would you like some essential oils? I have CBD cream in my purse. Would you like some? They have no chemistry. It's just very, very. We've used the word cringeworthy a lot, but this is also very cringeworthy.
It looks like two androids that were just programmed to like bump into each other throughout this movie. She though says, kind of declaring her interest a little bit, in that you're the only quarterback that I've ever seen in this city that loves his teammates more than himself. Oh. And this is what we've been missing for a long time.
Also, like, he proved that in a week on this team.
Yeah, this is very, like, they're jumping to a lot of conclusions with this team. Yeah, I would say so. What are your thoughts on the speech? Do you think if you're in this locker room, does Shane Falco turn the team around on you?
Honestly, it seems like the collective IQ of this team is so low that this might do it for me. They all seem like they think he's just as deep as he thinks he is. So maybe
he named
they're motivated.
His boat Fixius, right?
Oh, yeah. God.
So which bad. Means of, what was it? To take flight.
Mm.
So
deep.
Yeah.
Jessica, you made the point earlier that throughout this movie, and I can't get it out of my head now, that Keanu Reeves sounds like half Neo from Matrix and half Christian Bale's Batman.
Yes.
And I cannot get it out of my head for the rest of the movie. I'm just picturing like both of them in the middle of these
He's
scenes.
He's been talking like really like quiet and like kind of like strained.
It must be all the concussions. It has to be. Mitch, what about you? What are your thoughts on quicksand? Is that also a fear of yours that once something goes wrong, everything goes wrong?
I mean, it's quicksand is not a worry in my day to day. I'd say
when you're editing.
As a 12-year-old, I thought quicksand would be a huge problem in my life.
We never encountered it.
Not yet.
The way Keanu Reeves talks about it, I'll be more aware of it now moving forward.
Yeah,
certainly.
Make one editing mistake, and then that leads to another, and then another. And
right.
Yeah,
we've all been there.
You know, quicksand.
They're gonna win this game on the field. They're fired up. They're a team now.
I think that's probably safe to say. Everyone thinks that we're going on a little winning streak here.
Oh yeah, the bar fight was the catalyst.
Yeah,
we're all together now. All right, let's see what happens.
Mitch, narrate this kissing scene for me.
Don't make me do that. I correctly called that he was not leaving the bar. He started walking out, and of course he's gonna come back. Oh, you don't need me to narrate. We've got John Madden and Pat Summerall narrating.
But I'll tell you this. All it takes is one big play to get him back to the ballgame. And here goes Falco.
Oh, my God, no.
Fans chanting Falco right now.
Oh, no.
John Madden, how could you?
This movie continues to be one of the most uncomfortable romantic... I said it's a bad romantic comedy.
They just had a scene where the two leads discover they like each other with a Sting song and John Madden, like, sexual innuendos written over it at the same time.
For the record, I totally saw that coming.
I know. So
it's very predictable.
For those of you who aren't in this glass encased conference room, everyone's just like walking by watching us watch this movie, by the way, which is hysterical. This is the scene now where Shane Falco and the head cheerleader of the Washington Sentinels get together, even though she says that she won't date football players.
Especially quarterbacks,
blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, good night then. But he says first, he's like, will I see you again?
It's
like,
no, yeah, I mean, first he said, us babies need to get our sleep. Was that the
he
line?
He said that after. So
us babies need to get our rest.
Us
she
babies need to get
sat
our rest.
On the bar in like a suggestive kind of way. And then it was like she caught herself, was like, oh, actually, I need to go walk behind the bar and get away. And then he was like, oh, makes sense. Us babies have to get our rest.
Us babies need to get our rest is a sentence that Keanu Reeves said to this woman inexplicably at the bar. And then there was a long lingering stare off between the two of them. No dialogue. They just stared at each other across the bar for about 2 minutes while Every Breath You Take played in the background, and then the overlaid John Madden call from the game transitioned over it.
It was so bad.
And then they made out. I am speechless.
I think, like, that scene where they're staring at each other, they've both just finished, like, a sip of beer, and they're both just, like, they're both just, like licking their lips, and it's so bad. But I love that he's, like, there's at least another game left in this season, potentially. There's two more games left in this season, and he's, like,
still time for that double reverse.
Yeah, there is still time for your trademark double reverse, but he's, like, will I ever see you again? And it's, like, yeah, I mean, you guys are employees of the same place,
he's
so you're probably
like
gonna
it's the last day of high school.
Yes, exactly.
But it's the same thing. It's, like, yeah, you live in my town, so I'll probably see you again.
She's,
you know?
Like, no,
yeah.
Hags.
Remember science class?
Yeah, that was, like I said, it's a bad football movie because it's a bad football movie and a bad romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you can change my mind on this.
Nope.
No.
All right. Well, let's see if the Sentinels, manage to
Got
sneak
about
into the
half
playoffs.
An hour left to see.
God help us. Third beer. Let's see what happens.
Lord, beer me strength.
Oh, that's what makes it so much more sad. They're friends now. Hmm. But now Shane Falco is not the quarterback of the Sentinels anymore. No, it's
not
even
on
the
roster. Jinx.
He's going to watch the decisive game of the season from his houseboat. God.
Because the starting quarterback crossed the picket line.
For some
and
reason.
We think that that's going to be chill when the other players keep holding out.
Does he have a TV on in his houseboat? I think he's going to miss the game entirely. I think he's drinking beers on his houseboat. I don't think he's watching the game.
That's probably true. He's probably not watching
it. Well, no, he said there was a satellite on it.
No, he said there was a boat with satellite, and then he said,
I'm the
one next to that.
Maybe he gets residual satellite. Satellite antenna
action. He comes over
action.
On the next guy's boat.
Am I the only one that thinks you're defending ownership here a little bit? So the star quarterback crosses the picket line.
I did what?
The star quarterback crosses the picket line, and so the head coach says, hey, Shane Falco, sorry I dragged you out of your houseboat and you won two or three games to get us to the brink of the playoffs, but you're cut now. Like, what a dick.
I wasn't defending ownership. You were blaming Gene Hackman because they had the conversation on the field where Gene Hackman tells Keanu Reeves that Martell crossed and he's not starting, and you were saying, like, Hackman was a jerk for doing that, and I was just saying he's following orders from ownership. I was just explaining Hackman's decision. Obviously, I mean, in these three games, he has shown
that
he's...
What has Gene Hackman shown you that has led you to believe that he's an integral part of this?
Everybody is acting like Keanu Reeves is, like, the next Tom Brady or whatever.
He almost blew the game.
He's played three games.
He threw a touchdown through the defender's arms. Could have been an interception.
They're 2-1. One of those wins was on a 65-yard NFL record-setting field goal as time expired. It makes logical sense to go back to the starter if you've got him. The weird thing, I mean, you know, the guy is crossing the picket line, which is its own issue. The weird thing is that he's not even staying on the roster. Now, the two quarterbacks hate each other, so maybe he wants to leave. Clearly, he doesn't like Martell. But the fact that he would go from starter, who everyone loves, all the scab players, to just not even on the team is crazy. He should at least stick around and be number two.
It's true. He probably has an awful Pro Football Focus rating, Shane Falco, because of these near picks. Definitely counts against him a little bit.
Well, we did also hear that Martell, the starting quarterback, he might be interested in Shane Falco's love interest, which adds another layer.
So below the belt.
These men are not going to get along and be able to, you know, coexist on a sideline. I think that's part of it. You know, Martell toppled his car over twice. They got in a bar fight. He has a crusty, like, soul patch thing going on. All of his suits are way too big for him. He looks like he raided Michael Jordan's closet.
It does look like polo shirts were
it's
big.
The polo
polos
under the suit.
But
yeah.
But this was 2000.
The
though.
Suit
this
jacket is knee length. Though.
This is we remember the famous 2003 NBA draft,
yes.
And this is not long before that. Can I point out, I know I'm nitpicking, but they're playing against Dallas on Thanksgiving, and it's a night game in the second-to-last game of the season. Just None of this makes sense.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, Madden and Summerall will be on the call. Well,
they do
for the fourth
all
game
of their
in
games.
A row.
Yeah. They get the Madden
they
Summerall
only
game
get
every
Sentinels
week.
Games because of Shane Falco. I just think that I just think he's getting a little bit of a raw deal here. That's all.
I agree. Our guy is the fallen hero right now, and something's going to happen, and he's going to rise from the ashes like in every great sports film.
We've not seen the end of Shane Falco on the football
rise
field.
Rise from the ashes like
a phoenix?
Physius or the boat
oh.
to take flight. Come on.
Full circle here.
It's all coming
years
back to
you
us.
Had, Connor?
Did you write,
two and a half.
Did you write this? Are you one of the screenwriters on this movie? Yeah.
I'm just
thinking?
Totally. I'm hoping that nobody notices that I do have like a deep screenwriting credit in this, but none of the bad jokes. So, yeah, let's. It's so sad. Like, they quieted the whole bar. He has to tell everybody that he's not going to be the quarterback anymore.
They ruined a raging party, which some of these football players were really enjoying, I think.
They've been hammered throughout this entire. There's three times that I've seen a player. Don Julio paid for a little bit of product placement in this movie, by the way. They've got a sneaky amount of tequila.
A lot of
in this
Budweiser.
And
Budweiser.
Budweiser,
I was yeah.
Say. Yeah, I mean, our main kicker guy, the Welshman, has been smoking cigarettes on the field. So Goodell would love that.
Big win for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Yes. We've got them all, we've got all of them.
Pat Summerall would love that. Smoking cigarettes on the field.
Oh.
What? That's not a thing, right? He smoked?
Poor Pat Summerall.
I love Pat Summerall.
All right, well, let's see if he's on the call here for the finale.
Active roster tonight.
He was just watching the
on his
the
boat.
Sideline interview.
It was great to see you. Now get the hell out of my locker room! What the hell took you so long?
Oh, my God. Oh.
There's no way he's on the active roster, given the NFL rules. Right?
What the hell took you so long?
There are no
traffic,
rules.
Traffic.
There should be rules.
That was so poorly edited and delivered.
How far do we think his boat is from the stadium?
They showed, like, I think they kind of tried to do, like, an establishing shot at one point, and it seemed like it was very close to the stadium.
But then why did he need a ride home?
But why did he need a ride
home? To drive back and forth in his shitty pickup?
So there's a lot of continuity errors in this film, including the fact that it was never explained that, like, he totally just skipped the date on his friend. Like, we're 20 minutes beyond that
his
now.
His friend, huh? That's how you put it?
Well, clearly the way that he's treating her. I mean,
he put her straight in the friend zone.
He put her 100% in the friend zone. Yeah.
Her long wick candles burnt all the way down while she waited. Those candles take hours to burn down to the stem, and she must have been waiting till 6 a.m., 7 a.m.
She put on the dark lipstick. She was ready.
She was doing her makeup in something, and then she was looking at her face in something that was not a mirror.
Yes,
it was
which
like
was my
menu.
Favorite part of the
menu.
It was the menu.
It was like a reflection from
the
something.
Menu.
But really, so they're playing this game, and
this
they.
This is the decisive game.
Keanu Reeves sees Gene Hackman go into the locker room at halftime, and they're like, what do you need to come back in the second half? And he says, heart, which is clearly, you know, a callback to his earlier conversation when he tells Keanu Reeves he has heart. And then 3 minutes later, the guys are still wearing their jerseys and shoulder pads in the locker room, and Keanu Reeves just strolls in like he's here for the second half.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he got there so quickly.
I don't know. He took his boat.
And what's going to happen next?
I think he's going to play the second half, right?
I don't know.
So I'm going to take this time to drop the mind-blowing tidbit that I had promised you guys from the beginning of this movie. And maybe it'll foreshadow what happens next for the Sentinels. I don't know. Keanu Reeves, they did a lot of their training with the Ravens coaching staff. They helped out during this. They played at the Ravens Stadium. He was so convincing in filming that he got a legitimate tryout as a quarterback with the Baltimore Ravens.
Are you serious?
Shut up.
It's dead serious. You could Google Keanu Reeves Ravens tryout. This happened in August of 2000.
That's so a year before they won the Super Bowl. This was a good Ravens team.
So I was wondering who their – so Trent Dilfer was their Super Bowl quarterback the year before.
So they're probably looking for any options.
But it might have been like – it's like Tony Banks and Elvis Gerbach. Like who are their quarterbacks this time that they brought in Keanu Reeves to try out? That's insane. I don't believe you.
Google – I'm not joking.
I'm going to just choose to not
Google Keanu Reeves Ravens tryout. So what do we think here? Halftime, the Sentinels are losing. Keanu Reeves has showed back up with the line. So first of all, you know, we said this off air, but like the owner of the team has fired the entire coaching staff. Gene Hackman is an interim head coach. He has two other coaches who presumably have installed a new offense, right?
He's the coach and general manager.
He's the coach and general manager. Presumably there's a new offense, but they still insist on putting the professional quarterback back in.
Who is 44 years old. Yeah. A 44-year-old actor.
At the time of the filming.
At least 44 years old. He looks like a very old man, I will add. He does not look like a Tom Brady 42.
No.
He is a Archie Manning 44.
This is like my uncle bought a motorcycle 44. You know, that's what this looks like.
Yeah.
It's not good. But yeah, so Gene Hackman has called this guy a baby and said, you're overpaid, blah, blah, blah. You're on the bench. Sit down, pal, because guess who just showed up? Shane Falco. What's going to happen here at the end of the game?
Well, they're down 17-0. They're going to win, 24-21, something like that?
Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I think Keanu Reeves is going to say, us babies need some rest.
Yeah. All right. Well, the season's on the line. So
game-winning field goal by the smoker.
Got to be Dallas at night on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Don't forget too. By the way, the subplot of the chain smoker, who is in deep with the Sharks, all of a sudden looked in the stands at the game, and the people he owes money to are sitting there. Mm. Don't forget about that, guys.
Won't forget.
So I'm hitting record now because I want. I want you guys here with me for the end of this movie. I mean, this is it. This is the pivotal moment. For some reason, like the weird subplot about the kicker owing a lot of money to gamblers has come back into play.
I don't understand where that came from.
Heads up play by Shane Falco, faking the field goal without telling anyone.
But all of a sudden finding out that the kicker is in massive amounts of debt. Like imagine finding that out on the last play of the game. It's like, oh, okay, well, let me internalize that and then take the ball in for a touchdown.
No wonder his offensive lineman got called for holding. The guy had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, he thought he was blocking for a field goal. Right. Yeah, this guy, he's not an anti-hero. He just didn't know what play was going on.
Meanwhile, some other points on this game here. We've got Jon Favreau, the Chuck Bednarik of the late 90s, is now playing offense and defense. We've got Smith, the defensive player who had a pick six earlier in the game, is now the running back because a different running back who we don't think they showed us earlier in the game.
He was like the religious guy.
He was the one who had the Bible religious quotes.
He was the Bible
guy. Well, anyway, he ran for a 99-yard touchdown and also injured himself on the play. So we've got both Smith and Jon Favreau playing offense and defense for the whole game. We've got Shane Falco playing special teams. They don't have a lot of depth on this team.
We also had a callback to earlier in the movie when the coach said that women don't play football, whatever. And this one was Gene Hackman said, "It's nasty out there." And Shane Falco said, "That's why girls don't play the game, coach."
Right after he made out with his girlfriend, and like presumably she forgave him for totally skipping out on the
date.
Can
we go back to the makeout scene real quick?
Yes.
That we actually had to rewatch that because he goes out on the field. Shane Falco goes out on the field, goes straight to the cheerleaders, makes out with this girl.
And meanwhile, she doesn't know that he's there.
Right.
Because he showed up at halftime and then comes out of the locker room in full uniform.
Right. And she starts telling him about what they're running zone, whatever.
Yeah.
He starts kissing her, and then they stop kissing, and he says, "You give me strength."
Well, even before that, Madden and Summerall are watching the scene
again,
and
narrating
commentary.
A sexual component
and
of this movie.
John Madden goes, "He seems to be necking with that cheerleader," and Pat Summerall says, "You're not supposed to do that. You know that, John." alluding to who knows what.
Yeah, this is a callback.
You
give me strength.
He literally said, "You give me strength.
You raise me up." So I want you guys to stay with me here because this is the final scene. Can everyone hear this? Okay.
I can.
Who are you talking to?
Listeners?
They don't. I think that anyone listening to this podcast has hopefully seen this movie before. So we're in the huddle before the game right
now. Roy wants the ball.
The deaf tight end wants the ball.
I've been calling him Roy from the office. I don't even know his name in real life.
I don't either.
Roy from the office.
He had a great cameo in the NBC series This Is Us, too, which I really enjoyed.
That's a good show.
It was a great show.
I watch it.
It was good.
I forget his. What was he in This Is Us? Well. After,
oh, not This Is Us.
No, it was a different.
It
show.
It was a different show.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, though.
Modern Family.
No.
Let's watch the last play here, and then we'll. Is this recording or no?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, we'll talk about.
I want
later.
Your real reactions to the end of this.
I'm scared. How they're going to disappoint me this time.
I love that you left in us talking about Roy, not on This Is Us.
Was it like Parenthood? Sorry.
All right, we're at the line of scrimmage. Shane Falco's licking his fingers, as one does. Roy it's wants the ball. Movie.
Parenthood's a good show, too. Roy in motion.
Oh, we got a good block. Yeah, another good block.
If
that's a tight spiral.
If Keanu Reeves actually threw this ball, the Ravens tryout totally makes sense to me. Yeah. I would want to see him.
That is a great spiral. It's a Brady Quinn-esque spiral.
Touchdown, Roy. Oh. Wow. Scott Mitchell, by the way, is the other Ravens quarterback of that era who we should have named.
Oh, see, this is the only redeeming part of the movie for me is...
The song?
The Wallflowers version of Heroes, which was like a huge school dance staple for me.
You hyped up the soundtrack before we started this. I will say, I like they played that Dandy Warhol's song.
There's a lot of Rolling Stones. I Will Survive is another good song.
You guys are forgetting Sting.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good song. It was a good song.
So they won? That's it?
And that's it.
Seems like too much of a happy ending, really.
Am I wrong? They made it seem like this was the second to last game of the season.
No, this was the game.
And then once we got there, they're treating it like it's the end of the season.
Because everyone had crossed the picket line, so it's their last game.
Got it.
One thing we haven't mentioned yet is that Falco and Flacco sound a lot alike.
Oh, oh, here he goes.
Oh, he's going to make out with her again.
Second time.
They've already made out, though. This
the second
is not,
time in 60 minutes of
this
football.
This is no more dramatic. We already know they're a thing.
I know this doesn't happen, but I would have loved if it cut to their wedding and all all the offensive linemen were wearing like white groomsmen suits.
That would be the perfect ending for this movie.
This is a very XFL move, by the way. Like people are like, oh, this is unrealistic. It's a movie, whatever. Like this is exactly what the XFL wanted: was cheerleaders dating quarterbacks,
romantic subplots
at the stadium on camera.
Well, and this 2020.
Same time period.
Now we know why the Alliance of American Football failed, right? Not enough, you know, cheerleader subplots, you know? We're listening to Gene Hackman here sort of narrate the end of their life. There was no ticker tape parade, just a locker to be cleaned out.
John Favreau's face bleeds every game.
In the same
it
spot.
It is like John Ritchie. That was his thing. He would make himself bleed.
Greatness, no matter how brief, stays with a man.
I'm fired up.
I'm ready to get on this subway on the PATH train to Harrison.
This is terrible cinematography. Oh, wow.
And we're going to end with, again, everyone on the team doing the electric slide, which has nothing to do with I Will Survive.
Roy is a great dancer, though. Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing?
I'm watching.
There's definitely more panache on Roy than any of the other people.
You're a big fan of panache.
I love the word panache. The kicker, again.
Kicker in his sling.
Who broke his arm in an effort to save his bar in Wales.
Yeah,
has suddenly been forgiven by everybody. I mean, it's just...
Is that really it that we're going to cut the credits? Wow.
Is there an after credits scene?
I don't think there is.
So what happens? They go to the playoffs? We don't even find out.
Well, everyone crosses the picket line, so all these guys just get fired. And
Shane goes back to living on his boat?
Shane, I guess, goes back to living on his boat with...
the woman whose name we don't know.
We should tie up the loose end. He did have a small TV on his boat.
Yes.
That was what everyone was
Very
wondering.
Small. Yeah. He probably didn't need satellite because... It's Monday Night Football.
Probably local channels.
I
mean,
it was Thursday.
Half a mile from the stadium.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Very close. So, parting thoughts. What do we think of the replacements 19 years later?
So I posted an Instagram story while we were watching this and said that this movie sucks. And I kid you not, I counted so far. This has been 45 minutes. 16 people have replied and said that this movie is amazing, and I am a huge idiot. So wow.
I don't think you're the idiot in this
scenario. I would like to just know if any of those people have seen this movie in the last 2 to 3 years. Because if so, I'm not.
Humble brag, by the way. I don't remember the last time 16 people replied to anything I put on Instagram.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, well, apparently it's a very spicy take. This is how Stephen A. makes all his money. He says a spicy take, and then everyone engages with him on social media.
Right. Those people must not have seen this movie in 10 years. They might be nostalgic for an earlier time in their lives.
I agree. This movie is hot trash, and not in the redeeming way where, like, oh, like, you know, all sports movies are pretty bad when you think about it, but, like, they can be good and fun.
Yes.
This one's, like, this is just a bad
this
movie.
This is bad.
Yeah, it's just a bad movie.
Yeah, so I was on this podcast 2 episodes ago for Any Given Sunday, and that was, you know, that was really the question in the post, was like, is this a bad football movie? And it was entertaining. You know, the football wasn't great, but it was what it was. I enjoyed watching it. I'm glad I saw it. This movie today, this was a bad movie. There were some lines and some scenes that were fun, things that'll stick with me. Overall, I
What was Chick Stick Scar's glory forever?
Pain heals, Chick Stick Scar. And that's a line that I had heard before. I did not know that was from this movie until it shows up. I did not realize that was going to be like a big line in the climactic scene, like getting his team fired up before the last drive. Yeah, there's a lot in this movie that hasn't aged well. And just generally, I mean, the writing and the plot is, you know, the plot's predictable.
It's hacky.
Some of the jokes are just kind of lame. And this honestly, Connor, you've done all 4 of these. This might be the worst movie so far of the 4 that we've done.
Nothing will be worse than Draft Day.
Really?
Well, because, you know,
Kevin Costner, though.
Draft Day was filmed in 2014, their handling of women was no better in that film. 14 years after The Replacement. And I'm not saying that it needs to be good or bad. You know, it should always be responsible. But, like, Jennifer Gardner was a salary cap manager that was also, like, an object of lust and was pregnant and was also the secretary. It was horrible. It was horrible.
And we never found out what the player who didn't have anyone come to his birthday party, what that movie just left a big loose hole.
Like, was he good?
Loose hole.
I don't know.
The word for
good.
That.
I've never seen the film, but good plug for our bad football movies podcast.
Yeah, watch episode 1.
This is our 4th episode on the MMQB feed. Make sure you subscribe to the MMQB
and the
NFL
most valuable
podcast,
the MVP podcast,
and Jess's podcast.
Please.
But if you subscribe to MMQB, you'll get actual football talk, and then also the last 4 Fridays we've had football movies, and we've got more movies coming up.
See, I think this is the perfect, you know, sort of if you're having a long drive for Memorial Day weekend, if you're going to like a party somewhere, you know, this is a good hour to get you through, especially if you've seen The Replacements. Roy, by the way, was in Parenthood. He was the object of the affair that broke up the marriage at the end.
Swim Fan.
Yes.
Right. Had an emotional connection with him.
He was in Mad Men and True Detective too, which I did not know.
He was in True Detective too?
True Detective also.
Oh wow.
His name is Malkin.
Huh.
He's in a lot. He plays a lot of
Super adventurous career.
Before we get out of here, I know that we're wrapping up soon. I want to give a shout out to Nicholas Borey on Twitter.
Yes.
Who is a Twitter follower from Paris, France, our large international audience.
Wow.
But Nicholas sent us a very nice tweet saying, guys, my bad, I doubted you. How could they make another good one? Will it become boring at some point? Well, I laughed so much, at least as much as the first two. Well done. This is fun. Exactly what the offseason should be. Waiting for the next one now with a beer. So we wanted to say bonjour to Nicholas, listening from Paris, France.
Well, we would want to say merci, right?
Merci.
Yeah.
That's sure.
Merci, Nicholas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's thank you, isn't it?
So
yes, it is.
Yeah.
You have a burner account. And the name, we now know the name is Nicholas Borey.
That was the
merci.
Nicest thing. Suspiciously the nicest thing ever said about me online.
But for real, hit us up. Great. Let us know. If you have suggestions on other movies that we should watch, we are open to suggestions. Listen, we have nothing planned this whole summer at the MMQB. So any ideas that you've got, we'll take them.
Yeah. So I don't know. At the end of the day, thumbs down for everybody. We got a thumbs down.
Yeah.
It's a thumbs down.
It's a thumbs down.
It's a thumbs down for me. Yeah. Sorry.
I wanted to like it. I just couldn't.
We did. It took us on a little bit of a roller coaster. It started out slow, and then there was that point where
the
Mitch,
jail scene was the
jail
best scene.
Mitch was glowing. Yeah. I thought everything was turning around.
Glowed. One thumb down. Not two thumbs down, but one thumb down. I didn't like the movie as much as I liked this funnel cake beer, which I'm now on my second of after having a couple other beers. Connor, I know you're our beer sponsor, good thanker guy, yeah, but if you want to thank everybody, that was
So before we go, we want to thank again Forgotten Boardwalk, which is down in South Jersey in the Cherry Hill area, Zigmeister in Hackettstown, BrewDog, which is they have two locations, one obviously in Scotland, but then they also brew out of Cincinnati, Ohio, and then we have Neshaminy Creek in Philadelphia. So good lineup of beers that you can try in any of your local grocery stores, especially if you're in the tri-state area. So thanks, guys, and thank you everybody for coming on the show this week. Again, look up the MVP podcast. It's fantastic. They did a bit on Dennis Rodman stealing a crystal from a yoga studio, which was phenomenal. I laughed very hard. So
that's a film better than this film.
That is
tape
better.
Of Dennis Rodman stealing the amethyst.
That is better. So yeah, so listen to that, be sure to come back if we're still all employed here for episode 5 of Bad Football Movies, God willing. Ha ha.